Thank you. Controlling plant height is common in container plant production. This can be for a variety of reasons. For some species, it can be because there's target heights for production for plants such as poinsettia. For a lot of other species, it's to make them more compact for aesthetic purposes, but also because you can fit more plants on a truck for shipping purposes, so it's less expensive to ship. Generally, plant growth regulators are what are used, but this is not always desirable. So there are alternatives, which include alteration of environmental conditions, such as temperature, daily light integral, and drought stress. And growers can be reluctant to use drought stress for control because they don't want to negatively impact plant growth overall. My PhD research is focused on how plant growth differs with substrate volumetric water content. And in this study, we wanted to quantify how diurnal patterns of elongation is different in well-watered and water-stressed conditions. We also wanted to determine if there's an optimal time for applying drought stress for elongation control. The plant material I used was Hibiscus acetosella Panama red. They were grown in a 2.4 liter container with Fafard 1P. I chose Hibiscus acetosella because this is a plant I've worked with in the past. I know it's responsive to different substrate water contents and that it's quick growing, so I was going to see some results pretty fast. The experiment took place in a growth chamber that was set to a 12-hour photo period and a constant 25 degrees Celsius. You can see the environmental conditions. On average, the temperature was around 25 degrees. Relative humidity was around 36%, and vapor pressure deficit was about 2 kilopascals. For each run of the study, I chose two plants that were the most similar size. These were rooted cuttings, so I wanted plants that were pretty much identical at the start of the study to really look at growth differences. Each of these plants was placed on an individually calibrated load cell. By doing this, I measured the plant weight every minute, and then that was averaged and recorded every 10 minutes. So by doing this, I could then quantify plant water use and evapotranspiration over the course of the study. I had six different trials. They ranged from 11 to 19 days. For the first three runs, both plants were kept well watered for the first 3 to 4 days, and then one plant remained well watered while the other became water stressed over another 6 to 11 days. And the plants that were kept well watered were done so by maintaining a specific weight that I knew was a well watered condition. For the next three trials, plants were again kept well watered for the beginning. One was water stressed while the other was kept well watered, and then those stressed plants were rewatered for an additional 2 to 7 days. The varying day length had to deal with the fact that I was using time-lapse photography for this study, so it depended on how much I had zoomed in on the plants, and then they could grow up out of the frame of the picture, so I could no longer take measurements, so the trials had to be different lengths. So in using this, I made sure that both plants were in the frame of the picture along with a meter stick, and pictures were taken every hour. Doing this, I then used image analysis using ImageJ and measured the length of the stem on every picture for both plants. And by doing this, I could have an idea of how much the plants elongated every hour. The experiment was set up as a randomized complete block, and I had six replications. I have a little video here of some of the pictures put together so you can see kind of how easily you could see when the plants were elongating. So when the background's yellow here, you can see the plants more or less dance around. There's a little bit of elongation occurring, but as the background's turning to white, you can very clearly start to see the elongation occurring. So it was pretty clear once I started looking at the pictures, even without measuring, that the elongation was in fact occurring at night. When the background moves back to yellow, you see they just dance around again, and they're more transpiring at this time than really growing. Looking at some of the different growth measurements, in the left graph, we have increase in height from the beginning of the study. As you might expect, the well-watered plants did grow more. The shoot dry weight was also greater. Looking at some of the internode measurements, average internode length was similar between the well-watered and water-stressed plants. We feel like this is because these were the visible internodes that I could see to measure. So in terms of the water-stressed plants, they might have had new internodes, but they were too small for me to see and to measure. In terms of the number of new visible internodes, this supports that I could count that in the well-watered plants had additional internodes. In terms of the leaf measurements, the graph to the left is the total leaf area in centimeters squared. The graph in the middle is the number of leaves. And the graph to the right is the average leaf size in centimeters squared. So you can see in terms of both leaf area and number of leaves that the well-watered plants had more. In terms of the average leaf size, it was actually similar, but that's because these plants were still very young. I mentioned these were fairly new plants, and so they had not had the time to develop to really mature and have full-size leaves. So I feel like that's the reason that the average leaf size was similar. Looking at daily elongation in millimeters per day, on the y-axis, I've divided these graphs for the different portions of the trials. So in the left graph, it's when both plants were well watered. In the middle, it's when one was watered and one stressed. And to the right, it is when they're rewatered. Again, I don't have data for the well watered plants there because they were out of the frame of the picture. So you can see in the first part that growth was similar between the well-watered and water-stressed plants. The stressed plants were actually growing a little bit more at the beginning. It did not take long after the drought stress was imposed for the elongation of the water-stressed plants to start decreasing. We do see that it's fairly stable there for the well-watered plants across that period. And then once the plants were rewatered, elongation did start occurring again, but it did not recover to those rates of the well-watered plants. In fairness, this was only a few days of the rewatered, so given more time, maybe they might have responded up to the other levels. Looking at daily evapotranspiration and elongation, evapotranspiration in milliliters per hour is on the left y-axis, and elongation in millimeters per hour is on the right y-axis. The black and yellow bars along the top designate whether the lights were on or off in the growth chamber. The evapotranspiration data is the darker blue and green squares, while the elongation data is the lighter blue and green circles. So if we take a look at 8 a.m. when the lights came on, we see that evapotranspiration rapidly increases for both the watered and the stressed plants. We do see that they follow a similar pattern here, but the magnitude of the response was different between the stressed and watered plants. Then at 8 p.m. when the lights turn off, we see that evapotranspiration rapidly decreases, while at the same time we see a spike in elongation. So this was pretty interesting that we really saw a burst of elongation around this time of day. Elongation was minimal between 8 and 10 a.m. And one thing that was really interesting was that we actually saw that elongation started to decrease at about 6 a.m. So this hints that this isn't just a response to light, but actually a diurnal pattern, that it's a circadian rhythm of the plant, that the plant elongation has started to stop before the lights have even came on. In this graph, we're looking at elongation in millimeters as a function of evapotranspiration. We can pretty clearly see the differences here with the well-watered plants both elongating and transpiring more than the water-stressed plants. And then we can see that the rewatered plants, that the stomata have opened back up and that transpiration is occurring again, but that those elongation rates just really aren't recovering. So in conclusion, we did find diurnal patterns of elongation and evapotranspiration. The well-watered plants elongated about 10 millimeters per day on average over the course of the trial, more than the water-stressed plants. The ET did recover after rewatering, but elongation rates did not recover to those well-watered rates. Elongation was greatest at night, and there was a sort of burst of elongation that occurred after the onset of the darkness. Elongation was minimal between 8 and 10 in the morning. And overall, what this shows is that there is a potential for using drought stress as elongation control and really being able to recommend to growers when to do this, that if they ensure that those plants are stressed before and during that onset of the dark period, that elongation could be minimized. With that, I'd like to thank Fafford for donation of substrate and the USDA for funding of this experiment, and I'd be happy to take any questions.